Good morning. This is Monica Cornetti. Welcome to Gamification Talk Radio. We air this program every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, U.S. And the goal of this program is to provide real-world advice on how to actually put a gamification program in place in your organization. We focus mainly in the area of talent development, and you can take the information from my guests each week and use that in whatever area of gamification that you're looking to do for your work team, your organization, your business. This week, my guest is Dutch Driver, and it is part two of an open mic session that Dutch and I did. This week, you'll hear Dutch and I discussing things like extrinsic versus intrinsic motivation, progress as part of mastery, creating habits versus manipulation. We have a gamification hub. We discuss the value of the hub. This conversation's casual, it's unedited, and it's fun. So enjoy. Let's talk about Gamification Hub. What's your vision for the group?
Gamification Hub is a hub on a private group on Facebook. You can go in and search for Gamification Hub. I'm one of the admins. The other one is Steph Chef, and she's in London, I believe. We both came into it later. We were not the originators. Neither one of us were. So we came into an existing group, and there's around 1,000 people in the group. It is not the biggest gamification group on Facebook by any means, but I do believe it's the most active. One of the things that's active about that particular group is most of the so-called gurus, you and Gabe Zickerman, Yukai Chow, I cannot pronounce Andre's name, but
Marchevsky.
Andy. Those guys all hang out there. Oh, Mario.
Ann Coppins.
Some of the leading people that we know of. I'm sure there are people internally.
Yeah.
But these are like the consultants out in the world, and they're out. The advocates, I guess I'll say. They're not the technicians, but they're the advocates of the gamification design process. So the community itself, when we run into a little wrinkle, we can throw it out there and share information of things that we find that are gamification related. They're not purely gamification related. For example, Roman. Got engaged, and there was a big thing.
We didn't mention Roman in the
now Roman Rakowitz from Germany. So I caught that on his private page and brought it into the group because I want it to be a community where people feel like people and not just a profile. So it was a big thing. You know, he put it on his Facebook page, and I just grabbed it and put it in the group, and a lot of people congratulated him. Because I don't think we're separate entities. That's a part of the thing. We're not separate from a Facebook group. So you have to build a community. And that's my goal, is to make us feel human enough to be able to express that. Now, something interesting popped up, and maybe you saw it, is a young man posted that he's making an observational paper for his community college. Okay. I encourage that, but there are some problems there because it's a closed group, means that he could take things out of context for people expose it to the world. There are some problems there. That's why I encouraged him to contact them directly, because what we say in the group, we have relationships within the group, and other people do not understand those relationships and what's going on. So I want to keep the viability of the group there, and that's one of my goals is. It's free for you to discuss what you want to discuss there. And mostly it's gamification related, but it's not always that way. But we bring new things to the table, and that's my thing, is when I find something that I think is relevant to the gamification community, I bring it forward for people to think about. I think you and I have talked about we are the echo chamber talking to the choir.
Yeah. If someone's listening to this program and they're wondering, well, should I be a part of Gamification Hub? What's the demographic? Who should be a part of the hub?
Okay. Well, the demographics seems to be, and I think we talked about this earlier, it seems to be Eastern Europe. It seems to be the Middle East and India. Not too much from Asia at the moment. What I think is sad is how, and oh, in Canada, there's a pretty big Canada group on there. I think the saddest thing is how little the U.S. seems to be taking hold of this. As watching it from the big view, I'm pretty sure the schools in the U.S. are not talking about it, the business schools. My guess is a lot of the influx of our members comes from the Coursera course that Kevin Werbach does out of Wharton, because there's a huge influx recently. But the vision is to get people participating on the group as soon as possible, because then they become a part of the group themselves. I'm a total believer in the wisdom of crowds. I'm a total believer in sharing as much as possible. So it's getting them comfortable enough to ask questions and answer questions is one of my bigger things. You cannot benefit from what I call the sponge. You're sitting there, other people call them lurkers, but they're sitting there, they're soaking up all these nutrients, and they never tell you what is there. And I think I think it's on us to call them out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, depending on who they are as a player, they may not want to look like they don't know what they're talking about. They don't want to be embarrassed in front of their peers. That's one of the main things for an adult in any kind of environment is, you know, looking foolish in front of your peers. So I think it's up to us that are in the hub, too, to be conscientious about our responses and to remember that they are people and that they're putting ideas out there. And this craft is an infant gamification.
Oh. It's a gene. It's an egg and a sperm coming together. It's in the very, very infant stage.
For any of us to think that we're all that and we got it all wrapped up, sewed up, there's so much we don't know yet. And that's the exciting part about it, is that there is so much we don't know yet. Now, a lot of people have been doing gamification in different forms for a lot of years, called something else. And still, out there as an industry, it is so new, and there's so much to learn. I know that you and I talked yesterday about maybe starting to do some challenges to get people involved, but it's got to be a safe place. It's got to be that place where people can feel proud of their accomplishment, what they were able to do, and still learn from it. So, I just did a video this week, and I'm really proud of it. And I know enough to know that there's a million changes I need to make with it before it's really good. And what I need to hear from people is, that is really good. And had you considered, what about doing this? And that is what gets us to the next level. Not that any kind of negative or bash, but, you know, this is what I really liked. Had you considered, maybe this would help. And that's how we all can grow in that hub. So if we start doing challenges, we do have to make sure that any killer instincts in any of us really, and that's part of the whole gamification, is to make sure that collaboration can happen and growth and knowledge transfer.
We need to channel the killer thing. They're valuable. I had this conversation yesterday. They're a valuable thing when there's competitions, and competitions are, while we make them about us, the way I look at it is a competition of ideas. You have your strategy, and it's a competition of strategy. It's not, I just happen to be the embodiment of the strategy, but the way I look at that is, if you do not compete on ideas, it's not really engaging to me. I like the tussle back and forth, because we were having a conversation about, is progress a part of mastery? I personally do not think so. Progress is, how can I see you progressing? I have to know where you were and where you're going. I think it's really problematic to think progress is a part of gamification as a mechanic, or even as a part of it. It's a part of memory. So it's very problematic for me to think about progress as that. But we had the conversation, and it was really it was a back and forth tussle between, you know, some leading lights within the gamification world and me presenting my contrarian view, and that's valuable to everyone,
right,
I think about it.
Because we're talking about ideas, and it's like you said, it's the idea that we're discussing. It's not who said it and what's wrong with their thinking. It's the idea. And
so
with
you
progress,
asked,
if you think about progress, though, you think of things like the LinkedIn progress bar.
That's the metric, though.
Twitter, you know, Twitter's hounded me about something. I'm like, what do you want? What? Leave me alone. But
yeah,
it's that nagging right now. So I got this little nagging going on because they're talking something that I, you know, to complete in my status. And so that's a progress bar. The tying it to mastery is interesting because I guess it depends on – it's situational. I think it's a situational thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's situational. I brought up the difference between engagement loops and progression loops. Yesterday when I was talking to my friend at NASA, the way you could talk to them about it is programs versus projects. Programs are long things. The Apollo program, the space, the Skylab program, international, those are really long things. They can't plan out every single thing, but they have to have an umbrella to put it under. Progress is really hard to measure in those terms. Project-wise, you can measure progress, but it's internally, I think Andy was trying to make the point, is it's an internal thing. And I'm like, self-disclosure, I will never master myself. I don't think...
Yeah. What about when you put it towards something, though, if you're talking about progress as part of mastery, what if we take it to something like, I don't know the terms properly, but black belt. So Taekwondo, so I'm a white belt, yellow belt, orange belt. I'm definitely showing progress moving towards mastery.
So I brought that metaphor up. The difference there is there's a sensei that ascertains that you've met the level requirement. I start out, I think it's yellow belt. You start out with the yellow belt and you progress to the brown belt, but you have to meet certain skills to do that. And somebody, not you, says you've met that. You've done this, you've broke the board, you've mastered a certain move, and you can repeat it over and over again the way they want you to. Okay, that's a progress bar. Somebody else is saying you progressed. It's an external motivator. I don't know that it's an internal motivator.
What about the fact that you're doing something physically fit-wise now based on BJ Fogg's Tiny Habits? I can't remember what it is you're doing.
I'm doing wall push-ups before I do my showers.
Before you do your shower. So you've progressed from being a total couch potato slug to now being a person who can do X number of wall push-ups.
You know, the funny thing about that, Monica, is it started with 30 and it's still at 30.
Yeah, well, 30 is good, though. But now it started with not doing it to doing it consistently?
Every shower, even when I'm on travel.
So it just depends on how often
you shower. While the
hot
water is, I'm sitting there doing the wall push-ups.
So at least once a week?
Oh, well, yeah, about once a week. You're so funny.
Sorry, I couldn't.
You know me better than you need to know me.
I couldn't resist.
Well, you work at home, so you kind of know that.
I at least shower, Dutch.
Every day? What a waste of water. Contributing to the water shortage in Texas.
Oh, man, that's too funny. All right, let's wrap this up. How should we end the show?
You know, I think it's a really good thing to remember the infancy part of gamification. I do think whenever I'm out talking with people that we are actually engineering motivation. We hope to get to intrinsic motivation, which is cheap, and reduce the cost of motivation. We didn't talk about SAPS, which I think is one of the more powerful tools because that's addressing the expenditures that they put out there. We know that bonuses don't motivate anybody, but going out and having lunch with the CEO is a status thing. Giving them access to a private party, that's a status and access. So there's some really cheap things that people could do to motivate people, but they don't. And I think when you talk about gamification, it's the reward thing that we need to talk about too. And it's a part of it, but I think it's more powerful when we talk about those things, because people look at it and go, oh yeah, I could do that. I mean, it's a very easy thing. They don't have to spend a lot of money on doing it.
And this is going to open up a whole nother conversation, so I can't let us do that. But, you know, again, inside the gamification circle, we do want to talk about how the intrinsic motivator is what we want to focus on. And I can tell you that I've read a dozen case studies this week, Dutch, that tied it directly to some kind of financial benefit to the employee, and that's where they saw a significant increase in the outcome that they wanted. Now, where the danger is, that is, I don't know how long you can maintain that. So
you can't.
And maybe that's how we use it. We use it for short-term campaigns. Use it for a campaign that's going to last 3 months, and then hopefully that it's become a new habit so that they will do it without – they're going to do it anyhow. One I was reading yesterday was about a restaurant in Colorado. They wanted the wait staff to be promoting – some more of their high profit items on the menu. So they started rewarding the promotion of those particular items, saw a significant increase, but it was tied to some, along with status and recognition, there was some cold hard cash at the end of it. Now, it's not an ongoing thing. Are they still going to see an increase in those products? That would be something that we need to review and come back and measure and examine again. I think that's inside gamification. That's where I think pretty much everyone would say that's where you'll see the drop off. If you're not rewarding them financially now, you'll see the drop off. I think that on the side of creating habits, if we can create, well, this is what's the standard here. This is how we do business here. This is the habit we want you to create. Perhaps that habit can be created. I don't know. This is why it fascinates me. This is why I decided when I was a junior in college I was going to study what motivates people in the workplace and how to get them to do basically what we hired them to do. I've been fascinated by it since junior year when we started studying all that. So,
well, I mentioned the Snickers bar. It goes even further. As I think more, I mean, you ponder about it, I think more about my interest in this. I used to design little bitty games in like seventh grade math games, and I'm terrible at math, but there were puzzles, and my family knows I love puzzles. To this very day, I'd rather do puzzles than almost anything else. And most of my games involve some kind of puzzles. Although we need to talk just real quick. I'm becoming a gamer. I'm actually playing Skyrim. Because what I wanted to do is, if people were talking about the video game part, I didn't know what they were, because I purposely skipped them whenever the consoles came out. I didn't get an Atari. I didn't have an Xbox up until about a year and a half ago, because I knew how addictive they were. Mm-hmm. I had played a game years ago called Knight of Diamonds. It was part of the Wizardry series, and this is really early, and played 18 hours straight without going to the bathroom and smoking cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes and sat there and napped out a dungeon. I knew how addicted they are. So that the pitch that I put out there now is, if you'd like to motivate your customers and your employees, like playing Candy Crush makes $100 million a day, talk to me.
Right, yeah. Now, and then you have that. I'm reading right now. Somebody couple months ago started a discussion about best gamification books, and there were some on there that I had not read. And the one guy actually was at G Summit last year. I missed him totally. I must have been because
– Which one?
Hooked. It's Hooked.
Oh, yeah. Nier's a great guy.
Yeah. Did you see him speak last year?
No. I read the book, and I'm one of the admins on his Facebook group,
along with
Mike Feeney's also.
Yeah. But in the book, Hooked, he talks about – the line between habit and addiction, and what type of – who are we as creators? What are we trying to create? So, yeah, and that's, I guess, a major pushback for gamification is that.
The biggest pushback that I hear in the theory is when I'm talking to people, is, isn't that manipulation? Isn't it manipulation? My background is communication. I have degrees in both communication and speech communication. We manipulate. We are animals. We manipulate everything. there's an old adage in one of the classes I taught is you cannot not communicate. Mm-hmm. Even if you're giving the silent treatment to somebody, you're communicating that you're mad.
Right.
You cannot not communicate. Right. So manipulation, I think the problem that people have is with manipulation is destructive manipulation or deceitful manipulation where you don't know what the end purpose is.
Yeah.
I think gamification, one of the big selling points to me about gamification is the autonomy component. You have to be able to choose to play. Otherwise, it's not playing, it's being forced on you. And I think the adoption rate goes up whenever the autonomy comes up. In one of my presentations, I was talking about, I went to college back in the school of TQM, and total quality management and teaming that you were talking about earlier. There were self-managed teams, self-directed teams, cross-functional teams. That was the big conversation in the early 90s. Then that conversation pretty much dropped. And I make the point that what happened between the early 90s and now is email and cell phones. You could add cell phones in there. Now you don't do it yourself and you don't have the autonomy. You call your boss or your team lead or whatever and say, what do you want me to do? I think gamification can add back the autonomy to the workforce that's missing.
Yeah.
How to wrap it up? Let me ask you, what is your, not in class, but when you talk to, I think talking about gamification ROI is problematic in more ways than one. We'll not talk about that now. We'll do that next time. But what do you get back from your clients? Or what's their satisfaction?
Wait, I'm not sure what you're asking me now.
What are they happy with after?
Oh, happy
done?
With.
Yeah,
happy
their satisfaction.
With. I'm going to tell you it's ROI.
ROI?
Because, yeah, I'm going to tell you it's ROI because I know because I won't start the project, which is level one for me, is what are we trying to achieve? I can tell you that's very hard to get from my clients because they don't really know.
I know.
They have a... You know, it's kind of ethereal. Well, so yeah, we want.
It'd be great if these guys would do this.
We want better reporting. Okay, well, what does good reporting look like? Well, it means that I don't have to call them six times. Well, what do you have to call them about? You know, What do you not have now that you want? What's an example of a good report? You know, and so all of that. Peeling, because I start with very firm, what do we have now, what is it we want, where's our gap, and because I do mostly learning and development, is this a training need, do we need to train, or do we need a process, is this just a job aid, because people don't understand, or is it a new habit we need to form, so I know that to me, it's the measurable ROI, because again, in my field of learning and development, that's one of the things that we've always kind of skirted. We kind of skirt. Well, you can't really measure leadership. You can't measure communication. Well, you can measure that because is this manager having a lot of turnover versus this manager? Well, what is that all about? Were they just dealt a bad hand? Did they get a team that's bad? Or are people and we need to give some skills to this manager that this manager evidently has some – anyhow. It's all about
of that to say is it's
ROI.
It's organization. It's really good organizational diagnostic is what I would say. ROI is kind of like, to me, it's like taking the temperature, going to the doctor and having your temperature taken. There's a number. That's all it is. Doesn't tell you anything that's wrong, all that stuff. So the higher the number, the more fever you got. And the lower the number, the less fever you got. Meaning that you're closer to normal. So I think ROI is I've seen that come through the organization development community. We need to develop ROI, but what happens is it commoditizes the product that you're selling. For organization development, it's a humanistic model, and we've taken away the humanistic. And I'm thinking that ROI for gamification is also one of the dangers. It's not going to be fun anymore. It's going to be the metrics. And that's why I'm really worried about the metrics.
Well, Now, see, and we don't have time to go down this road here, Dutch, but to me, I'm the owner of an organization, and this is my vision, and I need everybody to get there. I do not want to drag you along. I want you to want to go. How can I help you want to go? How can I help you? So, yes, I want to bring the fun, but I don't want us for one second to think that we're not doing this for something out here. Even a not-for-profit, even government has to hit a number in order to stay viable. Because if we're not viable, we can't do anything we want to do. I work with not-for-profits. Oh, my gosh. If I hear one more not-for-profit say, we're a not-for-profit, we don't have any money. What I want to say is, well, you got bad leadership then. Because just because you're a not-for-profit, all you mean is you don't pay taxes. It doesn't mean you don't have money. Good not-for-profits have money.
Yeah.
And they run well. They run like a for-profit business. So, and I that was really harsh. Let me.
No, I get it.
I don't mean.
While you were talking, though, one of the things that I'm thinking about is that gamification allows you to tax the worker for work. You put on like 90% of it is fun and you get 10% more work out of them. It's to me that it's a tax, not you're giving them something that they want or that's fun, engaging, all that, but you're going to get 10% out of it as a tax. It's just a tax. Work is a tax. Fun is actually motivating. So you tax them. Okay, I'm going to let you have fun, but I'm going to tax you for like 20% of your time today is to get this task done. But that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so I prefer to look at it from a little bit slightly different perspective.
Okay.
My perspective is all about me, which is most people's, right? Who's the most important person in the universe? Each individual to themselves, it's the most important. So here I am as a leader in an organization. I've been given goals and objectives to achieve. I've been given this team in order to do that. Now, I want to get this group of people over there with the least amount of hassle to me. What is going to take the least amount? How am I going to have to not get emotionally upset? How am I not going to have to work overtime I don't want to work? How are we going to enjoy the work experience? If that means that I make the work more fun so we can reduce the hassle, then I am all for it. If that means I need to set up a structure to give some recognition and some feedback and some collaboration and a chance to take on projects, then show me how to do that. Because I want to get from here to here with the least amount of hassle involved.
That's a good selling point.
It is. And when I'll go back to, because every week when I'm out working with leaders, I'll say, if we would just step away from, but I want it to be this way. Well, they're not doing it that way now. How long are you going to keep beating that dead horse? The horse is dead. They are not going to – so what is it going to have to take to match up? Because it goes back to the valuable behaviors again. What is it that they want that we can move into alignment to move around where we need to get to? See, I think that's the power in it, is that everyone's like, oh, well, this is good. I don't really like doing reports, but, it's part of the job. We all have things we don't like doing, so –
only because the Romans did it doesn't mean you have to do it. It's 2,000 years later does not mean you have to do reports. Let people pull up their own reports.
It depends on what you're reporting on.
There's enough systems out there it doesn't really depend anymore.
I would disagree.
Okay.
You got to know your numbers. I think you got to know your numbers. If we don't know our numbers, we're not going to stay viable. Because we got to know.
I'm not saying don't know your numbers. What I'm saying is I don't need to write a report. I have the ability to go pull my own numbers.
I don't mean write a report, but I mean I need numbers. I need numbers. What are the numbers? So, anyhow. Okay, Dutch.
I love you, darling. Good. Thanks
all
for
right,
talking
love you too.
To me.
Hey, so have you done – what did you think about that Genius U? Did you like it?
I haven't read the full report yet. I'm a little bit worried about being – categorized after 5 questions, and most of them didn't fit me very well.
Yeah, I think you're a Blaze. I think you're a Tempo. If you look and read their descriptions,
I don't remember them off the top of my head. I was actually – I think you told me that you thought I was a Steel.
Well, the more I thought about it, I thought maybe Tempo.
You're the Dynamo. There is no doubt about that.
I
get that about you right off the bat. I'm like, yep.
What's really cool is that, like Jonathan and I were talking about something last week, because I will, you know, look, I'm not really ADD, but I do get caught up in ideas. So I said to him, you know, I had a really hard time staying focused. And he's like, well, you need to get stuff done. You need to get focused. And then he came back to me the next day and he said, you know, I shouldn't say things like that to you because your genius is in the fact that you're not. And I said, well, I appreciate that, and I need to get focused. But it was good because he realized that trying to lead me or make me be a certain way isn't going to be successful because I'm not that way. I thought it was really a healthy conversation. I enjoyed it a lot. Okay, talk to you later. Thanks,
Dutch.
All right,
Dutch. Thanks, Monica.
All right, bye-bye. Appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Next week, I'll be back with another fantastic guest. I'm very excited. I'll let you know who that is this coming week. So if you haven't connected with me yet, please do. You can go to my website, monicacornetti.com. I have a ton of information on gamification out there. Just put a /gamification. And also, you can go to sententiagames.com and learn more about our online certification and our live certification for talent development professionals. So we'll see you next week, everyone. Have fun.